is conditional use number 2186, Mount Air Farms of Delaware Incorporated.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district and GR general residential district for sludge and wastewater spray irrigation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 351.86 acres, more or less. The property is lying on both sides of Mountjoy Road, approximately 52 feet west of Townsend Road, and being on both sides of Townsend Road, approximately 157 feet south of Mountjoy Road, and being on the southeast corner of Mountjoy Road and Townsend Road, and the northeast corner of Maryland Camp Road and Townsend Road, and the southwest corner of Maryland Camp Road and William Street Road. The 911 address is not available. The tax parcels are District 234, Map 23, Parcel 1, 2, and 3. Staff would note we have the results of DLDOT service level evaluation, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, an exhibit booklet that included photos, comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, and we have 7 letters in opposition.
Mr. Chairman, before we proceed, if the record would show that I'm not going to participate in this hearing and Mr. Sharp's going to take my place.
All right, sir.
Leave you in his capable hands.
Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Sharp, welcome. Always a pleasure to see you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. We're hoping so. At this point, that's up to you. Go ahead.
Good evening. I'm well, thanks. My name is Lisa McLaughlin. I'm an attorney from Wilmington, Delaware, the firm of Phillips Goldman McLaughlin and Hall. I'm representing Mount Air.
So is that admitted to the Delaware Bar?
Admitted to the Delaware Bar.
Okay. And your number would be?
3113.
3113.
You need my bar card?
Mr. Sharp will make a record of that, and he'll confirm that you are, in fact, a member of the bar. Welcome to Sussex County Planning and Zoning.
Thank you. I'll be offering 2 witnesses tonight to present testimony to the board. It's Austin Pida and Mike Terrell. This is a conditional use request, as Ms. Cornell indicated. Mount Air currently spray irrigates its treated poultry process water on 13 fields. It also has 5 fields for land application of sludge, which are underutilized. Mount Air wants to repurpose 2 of the fields, which have 3 tax parcel ID numbers, to allow spray irrigation on these fields. More acreage over which to spray is better for the environment. Mount Air has no plans to increase production or increase the amount of treated process water applied to the fields, so it's good for the county and it helps Mount Air achieve its objectives with DNRAC. And with that overview, I'd like to introduce Mr. Pida to present more testimony.
Okay,
thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Austin Pida, and I'm speaking on behalf of Mount Air Farms. Just to give you guys a quick overview of the area, if you can divert to the screen. The road that's to the south of the fields. Oh, Jamie, I can't do it. Pointed on the map, the road that's to the south of the field is Maryland Camp Road. To the north is Mountjoy Road. And the road that's going in between, right on that blue and purple dotted line, is Townsend Road. I spoke on earlier, but just to give a general overview for clarification. So again, Maryland Camp Road, Mountjoy Road, and then dividing between is Townsend Road. To summarize why we're coming forth and speaking to you today, conditional uses are required for all biosolid application sites after May of 1990. The Rust and Thoroughgood Farms, as you can see on your screen, were permitted by DNREC through an agricultural utilization permit that began in June of 1990. We're not unaware of when the initial permit application was submitted. However, when Mount Air purchased Townsend's in the early 2000s, They transferred all active permits, and that sledge application was one of them. And the sledge application permits were renewed as required by the permit every 5 years thereafter. For this renewal, to exempt going through this process for conditional use solely for sludge, it was requested to provide documentation back to 1990 stating that the land was utilized for biosolid application and to show that the application was not interrupted for over a 2 year period. After further discussions with the county, the Denrec Biosolids program, it was decided that Mount Air would do the right thing and just apply for said conditional use to proceed with the renewal of the agricultural utilization permit. While going through this process, however, and Lisa spoke to it as well, we're also requesting to receive a conditional use on the requested lands for spray irrigation. Unfortunately, I don't know the specifics at this time on where permits will be located, other things such as hydraulic application rates, but any locations will need to be reviewed and approved by Denrec, pending extensive testing and measurements that are outlined in the Denrec regulations. What I am aware of, though, is that the spray irrigation is subject to strict regulations, which also considers nearby homeowners. As it was spoke on earlier, Mount Air currently has 920 acres, plus or minus, across 13 fields that are spray irrigated. And you can see them on the screen as well, outlined. Most of them are circles, some of them are half circles. But by having the potential to increase the available land, which Mount Air currently owns, by nearly 30%, would be strides forward to allow for better accommodation for Mount Air spray irrigation operation. And to clarify again, this is not for the purpose of increasing production. In short, by having the additional acres available for spray and the same amount of water to be applied on all the lands, and not only allow for operators having more flexibility to rotate fields during harvest season, it allowed them to receive less water on a year-round average. It allowed crops to uptake nutrients at a more efficient rate. It caused overall loading across the site to decrease, and it would decrease the overall percolate for all groundwater parameters. I hope that everybody sees this as an opportunity for the company to continue to use its resources in continuing its efforts to further protect the environment. With that said, I'd like to turn it over to Mike Terrell.
Okay.
Hello and good evening. I'm Mike Terrell. I live in Millsboro. I'm Executive Vice President of Mount Air Farms. The purpose for me to be before you today was really to give you some background on Mount Air Farms, you know, who we are. We employ 3,000 people in the Millsboro facility and over 5,000 in Delaware, on Delmarva, sorry. There are also 35,000 indirect jobs that are provided in the area because Mount Air is here in Sussex County. We also purchase services and goods from hundreds of chicken growers and grain farmers. The total wages in Sussex County in 2017 is over $100 million. Of payments to farmers and growers, over $77 million. Utilities, over $60 million. And capital improvements, over $50 million. So that's about $300 million in 2017 that Mount Air put into the economy here. We also invest millions in charitable work that we do to help people in need. Most of it's below the radar, but some of it you probably have heard about. If you approve this conditional use for our land, that will help us continue with the programs and the contributions that we make to the community. And lastly, what I'd like to say in a general statement is that Mount Air Farms is committed to getting our facility in complete compliance, and we're working hard to do that right now. We're spending millions of dollars to get it in shape, and this application will be a significant part of that progress. So, thank you.
All right, Jimmy, thank you.
This concludes our presentation. We believe the application meets all code requirements for the CU application. We request a recommendation of approval, and we're ready to answer any questions the commission may have.
All right then, we thank you, and we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we will start with Ms. Stevenson.
Actually, I'm going to hold off. I don't have any questions right now. I'm waiting to hear what other people have to say.
Okay, fair enough. Mr. Hopkins?
The new wastewater treatment plant that y'all are building, how much does that cost? How much are you investing in that?
Do you want to answer that, Mike?
I know it's a very big number.
Yeah. Councilor, you may want to ask your team members to sit a little bit closer.
It is a very big number. It's about $50 million. And that's really just the state-of-the-art plant. There's also a tremendous amount of interim measures that we put in place, because in order to build a plant like that, there's a lot of regulatory and engineering involvement. So it takes time to get to the point where you can start putting shovels in the ground. And in the meantime, there's an awful lot of cleanup that's going on at the facility. So we're excited to have as much progress as we've made. I think the state is pleased with our progress, and we're just excited and anticipating being able to start and to build this new plant. It will be state-of-the-art. It will very likely be the very best one in the state of Delaware, certainly in Sussex County and probably the whole state. We're doing way more than we're required to do because we want to be the best.
That's a big number. I remember a few years ago when Salisbury made a huge increase in their treatment plant. I think it was only like $35 million. So that's a big number. So it ought to work out. Thanks.
Anything else, Mr. Hopkins?
That's it.
Okay. All right, Ms. Wingate.
I do have a couple questions. So my first question, this is probably a dumb question, but I get what wastewater is, it's been treated, but what's the sludge? Is that solids?
Austin.
It's partially solid. It is also treated through requirements set by DENREC. It has to go through pathogen reduction, has to meet vector reduction. So it goes through a similar treatment process that the water does, not exactly, but similar.
Okay. And what are you, if you're not increasing the capacity, and that's why you don't need the fields, what are you doing with this currently? Where does it go now?
Where does what go now? Sorry.
If instead of putting it on the ground,
we're paying a contractor to have it hauled off.
All right. Okay. I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Mayors?
Yes. In past hearings involving spray, there's been information provided as to how pure the water is. It'll be sprayed. Do you have any specs on that?
I don't have them at this time, but as Mike said, the wastewater treatment plant is going to be state of the art, and I don't want to be premature into giving a number and having to go on record, but it is going to be pristine water.
But so the what is going to be sprayed, nothing. So you're waiting to spray on these more? This, oh my gosh, I think I'm having a stroke. Anyway, so the water that's going to be sprayed now is all going to go through this treatment plant once it's built?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Just from my limited knowledge of how they work, all the spray irrigation facilities are everywhere in the state are required to meet the same regulation. The testimony that I think Mr. Mears is referring to is that often people come in and tell us that the water that's being sprayed on the field is a clean to drinking water qualities first. However, I've never found anybody yet who was actually willing to drink it. So the fact is that the state regulates that, and they're all virtually the same, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, staff on this end, any questions?
None for me.
Okay.
I have none.
None? Okay. Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Counselor, anything for
just
you?
Just a couple, if
okay.
I may.
Please.
Mr. Pata or Ms. McLaughlin, is it only
sludge or spray irrigation from Mount Air. There won't be any spray from any other carriers or providers.
That is correct.
All right. And I take it that you're not planning to stockpile any sludge on the site?
No, sir.
Okay, so if you had sludge, you would be applying it immediately upon receipt?
Yes, sir.
All right. Are there any hour limitations on when it would be sprayed or days of the week?
DEMREC has a set regulation of when you can and cannot spray. They have an application rate. They have how much rust needs to happen once the pivot makes it swing. So it would be abide by those regulations set by DEMREC.
Are there any proposed, I think your testimony was you weren't exactly sure where on the properties this was going to go. Is that correct?
That is correct. DEMREC has soil testing that needs to be done, infiltration rates, setbacks for residential dwellings, wetlands, streams. So we would need to go through that process with DEMREC to figure out where those areas are. And then from there, upon test results, so on and so forth, determine where it would be a feasible place, an appropriate place to spray.
Are there any proposed buffers from neighboring properties that I recognize some of these are contiguous, it appears to be to Mount Airlands, but are there any proposed buffers to non-Mount Airlands?
I know if you look on the screen in the purple, there is a residential area to the east. So we would have to at least meet a 200-foot buffer off of that.
And I guess I was a little confused, and perhaps you can clarify for me just so that I have a better understanding. I think your statement was that this was going to help offload spray irrigation that you're doing elsewhere. Is that correct?
On our current lands that are permitted for spray irrigation, yes, sir.
Okay. And I also recall you saying that you hauled away some wastewater as well.
Sludge is currently being hauled away.
Okay, so sludge being hauled away, not spray irrigation.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I was a little confused there. I want to make sure that the net, I guess from all the farms, the net, there is no net increase in the amount of spray irrigation.
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I have no further questions, Mr. Chair.
All right, sir. We thank you. All right, then. Anyone else in the commission have any questions? If not, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. I suspect there might be one or two. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 2186, Mount Air Farms of Delaware Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 2186? Okay, we'll start over here.
Hi.
My name is Shelley Cohen. I live in Milton, Delaware, and I'm going to read a statement and submit it. Also, I'm a member of a grassroots environmental group here locally called Sussex Health and Environmental Network, or SHEN for short. Not used to this, so just bear with me.
That's quite all right. Okay. I do want to ask you one question. Are you speaking for yourself, or are you speaking for an organization? Or
mainly for myself. Okay. I just wanted to mention that I was a member of SHEN.
All right, thank you.
Okay. The Planning and Zoning Memorandum of October 3rd, 2019 confirms that the comprehensive plan provides that in this low-density area, envisions agricultural activities and residences. It states that the coastal area designation recognizes that the development can be accommodated provided that any special environmental concerns are addressed. First, this is not an agricultural activity that's being proposed. The proposal is to permit spreading and spraying of industrial waste from a poultry processing facility. If it were an agricultural activity, there would be no use for a conditional use ordinance. Second, it is not business development or development of any kind. It's a proposal to spread and spray industrial waste from a poultry processing facility. The Planning and Zoning Memorandum of October 3rd, 2019 states that there have have been other conditional use applications for the use of biosolids within a 5-mile radius of the application site. The reference is to the 15-year-old application for the same applicant. Planning and zoning is well aware of the contamination of drinking water in the area caused by the same applicant as you have before you. The property at issue is immediately adjacent to a residential area that is not served by public water. Their wells are therefore at risk. The proposed use does not appear to fall under the listings of conditional uses listed in the code under sections 115-39. Under section 115-171, there is a statement for the purpose of a conditional use article of the code. It reads, "The purpose of this article is to provide for certain uses which cannot be well adjusted to their environment in particular locations with full protection offered to surrounding properties by rigid application of the district regulations. These uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. But because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan and possible impact, not only on neighboring properties, but on a large section of the county, require the exercise of planning judgment on location and site plan. There is nothing in the public or semi-public nature about this proposed use. It benefits one corporate industrial entity and potentially harms all those reliant on well water in the area." Thank you.
Okay, well, thank
who
you.
Who do I hand this to?
If you'd hand that to Ms. Cornwell, please. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir, over here on the end.
Good evening. My name's Ken Haynes. I'm from Millsboro. And I'd just like to say that I am opposed to this. And I can't say anything else because I have a gag order against me. But I wanted my opinion. Thank you.
All right, sir. Okay, who's next? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Cheryl Mathis, and I am also living in Millsboro. I also have a home in Wilmington. I have a curious thing, and I'm speaking to myself. I have an air cleaner that I keep in my car. It was only $50. It puts out minute amounts of ozone and some negative ions, and it kind of cleans the airspace within my car. Because I have asthma, and it makes anybody feel good because it takes particulates out of the air, and it makes you feel better. So one day, I'm having a nice time with my husband and Lewis, and I'm driving home, and it has a registration in it that has red for air that is not healthy, and it goes to orange and then to green, which is good. Excuse me, I'm getting a headache. It registered red all the way home, and irrigation fields were practically the whole route home. So I would suggest anybody that really cares about the air that they breathe, that they get something themselves that monitors the air near these irrigation fields and see if that's what happens to them. Okay. After all, maybe I just have a defective unit. So there you go, and I am opposed.
Okay, thank you. All right, who's next? Over here, let's take one from this side.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Jimmy Swescott, and I live on Cordry Road. Mm-hmm. The reason I wanted to speak today, because I heard the folks from out there speak, and I just, you know, have a few questions. When we talk about good neighbors and compliance, for people that live in that area who have a home, who have a vested interest in the property that they own, they want to be able to understand that that property is not going to be impacted by things. When you talk about spraying and irrigation and sludge, people don't understand that. They don't know what's going on, and they hear short stories and rumors, and they get concerned. So I think from the perspective of Mount Air and what they've said today with the young man who spoke earlier, I still have questions. And I don't think all those questions were answered about the safety of the sludge and the things that are going to be poured over the land, I guess, if you will. Also, you know, there's the issue about how far will the sludge and the water travel in ground. I mean, you can say that it's only going to be a depth of 2 or 3 feet, but how far will that travel? Will it impact our water later? Will our children years down the road have to deal with this same issue? So my thought is anybody who has a say in if these types of things are improved, and that would be you and the county council, I would hope that you would take into consideration not only what our good neighbors Mount Air have said, and we certainly appreciate, you know, that they've spoken about not only the technical part of it, but also the jobs, especially for people that work at Mount Air. But there's also a human aspect as well for people who have health care issues, who have property there. And we want people to make good decisions about being good neighbors. And if that means gathering more information, especially in light of the fact that they mentioned that there's a $50 million wastewater treatment that's going to be built, well, what does that mean? Can you explain that a little bit more? So we need to, as a community that lives in that area, that have been in the news, you know, a few months ago with regards to this, some of these same issues, we want to be able to understand. And we ask that, you know, especially from my perspective, since I live there, I purchased property there, come to you with a plea to say, I want you to understand what's going on and help us to understand. I'm not a person that goes all willy-nilly and say, oh my God, this is a bad thing. But I want people to explain to people that don't understand what this means for that area. And that's all I have to say.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
In your testimony, I heard you ask maybe 2 or 3 questions, and I'll try to get you some answers for them, but I want to make sure mm-hmm. you asked about what the infiltration rate mm-hmm. and depth and spread of anything that you might be putting on, and the other thing you asked about is what the $50 million sewer plant.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Okay.
You know, how is that protecting? Because somebody mentioned here that it's just water that's going. Well, if it's water, somebody take a glass and drink a bit, you know, okay? Mm-hmm. There has to be more. So that's what I mean. People don't understand the impacts. And if years down the road, the other thing is, the impacts to the property years down the road, mm-hmm. or maybe a year down the road.
Okay.
Is this going to impact my property value? I need to understand that.
Okay, I'm not sure that there's anybody here that
I know, but
testify as a real estate expert, but I will ask the 2 specific questions that you asked. I'll let them respond to that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I certainly appreciate your time, and I certainly appreciate any information or clarity you can provide to us as a community.
We'll see what we can do.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Counselor, if you would, if you or your experts would come forward, and I'd like them to speak to the 2 issues that the lady raised in regard to any science you might be able to share with us about infiltration rate and that sort of thing, and then if someone can talk a little bit about what the new sewer plant is going to mean to the area.
I can answer the first question regarding the infiltration rate. DENREC requires us, and they have a spreadsheet that's set forth from the biosolids program. It's called BARS. And it predetermines a set amount that you can apply on any given land. So we ensure that prior to doing so, that we have the communication with DENREC, that the sludge meets the given pathogen reduction and vector reduction, has the nutrients set forth, so we know that it's not going to negatively impact groundwater. It's predetermined on depth too. It's set in the regulation that you have to go X amount of inches below the surface. I don't know what that is off the top of my head. But it is in the regulations and it is followed.
And it's regulated by whom?
DENREC.
Okay.
And it's right, it's a line item in the permit
for
itself.
For those of you that don't know, DENREC is an acronym for the Department of Natural Resources Environmental Control. That's who controls these activities in the state of Delaware. Okay.
So that was regarding the sludge application.
Right. And then the second question was what the new sewer plant will mean to the area.
Sure. So I'm going to defer that to Tanya. She's the Director of Environmental.
Okay, great.
Hi. So I'm Tanya Rogers-Vickers, the Director of Environmental Compliance for Mount Air. So I just want to make sure I answer your question. So,
okay, ma'am, I have to ask you to face us.
Sorry.
And she'll be listening, but we don't allow cross-examination,
okay.
So we just need you to...
So,
I know she's much better to look at than I am, but you can just shut your eyes.
So the new wastewater plant, as Mike Terrell stated, is about $50 million investment for our company. So everyone knows this is a spray irrigation site, and we are required by DENREC for lots of things, nitrogen, phosphorus, all of those things. So this will be a state-of-the-art plant. Part of the spray irrigation site also requires some of those nutrients so we can grow crops. So it's very important, you know, so it is not pristine water, but it's going to be a state-of-the-art wastewater plant. But there's still going to be nitrogen and phosphorus in the water, because that's what you grow crops with, but a lot less than what you would normally see in a wastewater treatment plant. So and I'm not sure if I answered that question, but.
Well, I think if I may speak for the people that live in that area, if I were living there, what I would want to know is it safe? How would that affect me? How would it affect my kids? What, you know?
So,
nitrogen and phosphorus, are they inherently dangerous chemicals?
Nitrogen, phosphorus, if we don't, every farmer applies nitrogen and phosphorus to their fields to grow crops. Every crop needs nitrogen and phosphorus to grow. So that's part of growing crop. So we have lots of requirements from DENREC, where we have groundwater monitoring. We submit reports to DENREC. We sample every single day. So we have a lot of requirements.
Okay.
So will this plant, being a state-of-the-art plant, be able to more accurately and precisely deliver the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus that field wants?
Actually discharge not enough nitrogen to the crop. So we will not have enough nitrogen on the fields for the crop.
So the crop soaks up 100% of it, you're saying?
So the percolate is supposed to be 10, which is what 10 or less, which is what would go into the ground. Our percolate will be less because we'll be discharging less than that to the field.
So you'll still have to add fertilizer to the fields then?
We likely will not add fertilizer to the field.
And how does what your, I'm sorry, I guess you just answered that. You said what the rate was of, I was going to ask how much it compares to traditional fertilizers that you put on fields, the water that you'll be.
Farmers apply a lot more fertilizer to the field so they can grow a crop.
Are you saying then that you're willing to pay the price to have a lesser yield of crop in order to guarantee that that you soak up or you consume all of the nitrogen and phosphorus that you're putting on the fields?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Are these commercial crops that you sell or do you use?
Corn, soybeans, wheat.
We use all of them.
I was going to say, I meant they
use
it all.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
And then you said DENREC has the regulations on the water. So you're monitoring the groundwater and sending the results to DENREC every day, or how does this work?
Monthly in our SMR report.
Do they ever come out and check on their own?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Don't go too far, but take a seat, and we'll see who else would like to speak. Okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Hi, my name is Keith Steck. I live in Milton, and I'm here speaking for myself. I have some written comments to supplement my statement here. You have to excuse my scratchy voice. My allergies are kicking up.
You're not by yourself.
So, thank you for the opportunity to comment on this case. Let me begin by saying first some general comments. One is, I'm curious why the application was not part of the online packet that the paperless packet that's part of the record. I think many people can't come in. I know it's available here in the county courthouse or the administrative building, but the record's not available through this packet. Many people who...
Stop right there for a second. Ms. Cornwell, that seems unusual.
That's not true. It is part of the packet.
Sarah, the application?
Oh, you're looking for the official
application itself.
We apparently did not scan that and put that into the packet.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure I knew what you were talking
about. But the information provided is, there is information on the website that was part of the paperless packet.
Yeah. But because a lot of people who work have mobility problems,
right,
are ill, traveling for a variety of reasons, can't make it into the building to examine the documents. So it seems to me that that should be fundamentally in any application packet. That said, there are other problems with this submission, and I don't believe this is ready for serious consideration this evening. And I certainly don't believe it'll be ready for county council, because I believe that's scheduled for a hearing next month. We'll take a minute here to ask a question about the point that one of the gentlemen, I believe it was Mr. Fida, made about residential areas being to the east of the project area. There's also a residential area on the south side of the project. I don't know whether those people were notified or not, because from what I could tell on the online information that was shaded for the mailing list, that community down around the two roads there, Hitchens and the road below that, didn't seem to be in that notification area. As far as more substantive comments, I believe there are inaccuracies and incomplete analyses in the documents submitted. For example, in the information sheet, if you look at page 14 of the paperless packet, the sheet identifies a project being in Councilman Burton's district. That's not true. If you look at the documents themselves, the sheets on the individual parcels, you'll see that they're in Councilman Hudson and Riley's districts, not Mr. Burton's. You'll also see on that same sheet that it talks about 200 acres. That's only one of the parcels. The entire parcel area covered is 350 plus acres. So those are two serious, especially the acreage, is a really serious issue. It makes me wonder what other documentation has that error found its way into.
Yeah. Actually, sir, it was advertised as 351 point something acres, and it's on the agenda as 350 acres. It could be that that was some reference to a specific parcel. This is a collection of parcels, so.
I recognize that, but I can also tell you it's in the county's engineering department conditional use comments. The same information, limited to 204 acres, not the 350 acres.
Okay.
So it makes me wonder what other documentation related to this project contains those errors. And are there errors in there that affect decision making? In other words, is there a threshold that this 204 acres is under and wouldn't trigger it? But anything over, say, 250 acres would consider a different, or require a different consideration. So to me, those documents all need to be reviewed, and the decisions that are affected by that need to be reviewed. That's not a small issue. Some of the, so are there other planning and zoning office documents that those have those errors? Have those found their way into other county documents, and have they found their way into state documents? Were there submissions to DENREC, DELDOT, other organizations, other state entities that should be looking at that?
Okay.
So to me, any decision on this should be put on hold until that review has been done. The planning and zoning memorandum itself, October 3rd, 2019, does not provide a full context regarding this project, nor does it provide key information and analysis. For example, how long is the site going to last? Is this a temporary site, spray field operation, or is this a permanent operation?
Well, this has not been advertised as a temporary conditional use.
So I would suggest to you that it's a permanent, because it's not been advertised as a temporary, so it would be permanent.
Well, given some of the other errors, I mean, I don't know that.
Sir, frankly, most of the errors you've talked about are really not particularly material. This body understands what's being proposed, and I appreciate what you're saying. And I will ask Ms. Cornwell when at the conclusion of our hearing. I doubt that we'll take any action on it this evening, but we will ask her to look into that and to see if there's anything that's material. But at this point, I really haven't heard anything that gives me any great pause.
Well, again, for the general public who's not really well informed on these issues, I think it's an important clarification that needs to be made. Another question that comes up is the source of those sludge and the type of the sludge are not described or defined in the document. There's been some discussion of it this evening, but you know, sludge can also contain heavy metals, etc. I don't know what the analysis of this is. Again, I don't expect those answers to be readily made this evening. That's the purpose of more in-depth analysis, but it seems to me if the Planning and Zoning Office is doing a background document and an analysis, that kind of stuff, that some of that basic information should be disclosed. The source of it, is it coming from the Route 24 facility only, or are there Mount Air facilities like around Selbyville, for example? I believe someone made the statement that it's not coming in from out of state, but again, that information is not there. The same is true of the issue of...
Sir, excuse me, did you say that, did you note that the testimony was that it was not coming in from other places? Is that, did you hear them say that? Because I heard them say that.
I did hear him say that. What
so
I'm saying is that...
that's information that's been given. That's not information that's not been given. That's information that's been given.
That information was just given this evening. Okay. That was not in the record for
that's
the public's availability.
That's the purpose of the public hearing. That's the purpose of this hearing, is to get all the information, and that's what we're trying to do. I just made a note. I'm going to ask them that heavy metals question, because that's a good question. I'd like to know the answer to that myself.
Well, while you're at it, you might ask them what kind of, what's the description and the type of the wastewater?
Okay.
Because wastewater is not simply wastewater. Wastewater consists of most of these processing facilities because process wastewater, which is used when you slaughter a chicken, you dress a chicken, you package the chicken. But it can also include sanitary wastewater, which in plain English is sewage. Sewage cleaning solutions and other things when they clean facilities down. Again, this description doesn't say anything about what's in the wastewater. It also doesn't say whether it's going to be treated. Now, I know they discussed they touched on how this is going to be treated, but treated wastewater for a spray field is not treated to the same degree that water is treated when it's discharged into a creek.
That's correct.
So it's not as clean. So that's a concern. Again, this hasn't been discussed, and I think it's a relevant point that should have been included in the document. Also not discussed is how the sludge and wastewater are going to get from the facility to this site. Now, because there is a document in there from DLDOT talking about the transportation, I'm assuming it's a traffic, it's a comment on the volume of traffic taking a leap, and that implies that this is going to be hauled by a truck or trucks. Mm-hmm. But again, that's not stated, and so the public isn't really aware of how that is. Or are they going to construct a pipeline somehow or other and run it up there? And I think that's a fair question to ask.
You are aware that this activity is already occurring, and that their testimony has been that there would be no increase in production. So this, and I will ask them the question, I'm just clarifying for you that this material is already being transported. It's just going to be transported to a different field now. But I will ask the question for you.
Well, I know they said that the sludge was being transported off site, but I didn't hear any discussion about the wastewater. So again, I don't know whether it's
by I'll find out for you.
Truck or whether it's by an underground pipe or something.
Okay.
Other cases that come before the commission regarding changes of zoning or other conditional uses, et cetera, where there's information from the Sussex Conservation District about what impact a project will have on a proposed site or surrounding areas. I don't see anything related to that. So I think that's a fair question. Do you know anything about the Sussex Conservation District and its analysis of the land that's going to be absorbing this or this is going to be applied to? Again, I think it's a question that the people, you all should know about and the public should know about. I think there's also a question about, and picking up on that point, I think it's really incumbent on you all to make a very wise decision on this and a very thoughtful and studied decision. Otherwise, you're going to end up in a situation like you have with Blessings blend composting over by Prime Hook and other situations. The impact this project is going to have on the surrounding communities has come up. What is that going to have? As the woman from spoke and asked a question about what impact it's going to have. And I think in this particular area, it's really important given that there has been environmental harm in the area. The drinking water has been contaminated in areas around there. As you all know very well, Mount Air is in the middle of lawsuits and negotiations or settlements with DENREC about these very issues. So I think it's a fair topic to discuss. And regarding that, this area in particular, I believe, is one of the communities that some people would refer to as a social justice area or an environmental justice area, which consists of people of color, poor, elderly, and other underserved individuals. And I'll raise another question. Is this commission aware that the entire project falls within what's called the Nanticoke State Designated Tribal Statistical Area? We have a large number of Nanticoke people who live in and around this area, and there is a designated area, and the tribe is recognized by the state. So it's something to seriously consider. The other thing is, well, shifting this to...
Can I ask you to help me understand how that tribal designation relates to this application? Is there a connection there you can make for me? I mean, I'm actually was aware that it is a part of that area. It never occurred to me that would be a factor for this application. How would that?
Well, if you look at a number of these kinds of communities, they've been areas that have been sort of targeted for industrial development, chemical plants, other industrial facilities and operations and things like that, that are disproportionate to the overall population of a county, a city, or whatever it happens to be. So, you know, it used to be people talked about the other side of the tracks, for example, a lot of cities, especially in the South. This is a question of fairness. It's a question of equity for putting this kind of an operation in an area that isn't going to disproportionately affect people of color, which would include the Nanticoke tribe, for example.
Is there anything you can offer us that would indicate that that has in fact happened? Because this place has been there for years, and this activity has been occurring there for at least 29 years that I'm aware of. And I'm not disputing you, but I'm just saying to you, in this forum, we appreciate your opinion, but that's all it is. Do you have a fact? Is there an impact that you can share with us? Because that's what will be meaningful for us.
I believe I can submit a health study that might indicate some of this supported. So if you give me until tomorrow, I will see about that.
That's not going to happen. We're having a hearing tonight, and we're going to conclude this hearing this evening. But you have another opportunity coming up with County Council.
Okay. Anyway, again, the point is, the question is, how is this going to affect this community? The environmental impact that this project will have on the adjoining Swan Creek, the Waples and Longwood Ponds, down through to the Indian River, and ultimately the inland bays. There's no mention in these documents that there's been any study on it, but the waterways that will be on the west side of that project area, that's where Swan Creek runs. And so the concern is what impact will these kinds of discharges and application of sludge have on these. I don't see any documents or any reference to that in here. The memo goes on to say that the reference is how applicants are encouraged to analyze the development's potential environmental impacts. Well, you could actually look at the studies of the inland bays and the Indian River, and I believe Chris Basin, not to put you on the spot, but I don't know whether he was going to speak tonight or not, but they've done research on this. There are studies online, can be easily pulled from the centers of the inland bay, and that information is something that you all might want to take a look at and evaluate. So, based on that, I'm going to say that I think there are a lot of unanswered questions. Even if you don't decide to deny it, you need to study this.
Okay. Thank you. All right, sir. We thank you. Councilor, I'm going to ask you to have your team come forward, if you would. I'm not sure who should answer these questions, but I'm going to tell you what they are, and you guys can figure it out. The question was asked about the presence of any heavy metals in the sludge. There was a question about the sanitary waste being commingled and with processed waste. They also asked about the transporting of it, of the sludge and the wastewater, how it gets from the plant to the field, I guess. If one of you or all of you want to take a shot at that,
I guess one of the questions was transportation.
Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier, we currently transport our sludge off-site. We're not land applying any sludge at this time.
The question is, how does it get from the plant to the field?
There's a pipeline.
The pipeline?
Wastewater. There's a pipeline from the wastewater treatment plant to the fields.
Okay. So there's no trucks, there's no traffic on the road?
Not for wastewater, no, sir.
Okay.
For sludge, there's a tanker.
Okay.
It
transports the sludge to the field, and then there's an aggregator that does subsurface injection.
When you're running full tilt, how many trucks a day?
Currently, today, we haul off-site 2 to 3 loads a day.
Okay, so it's 2 to 3 trips a day to
Correct.
The It'll be two or three trips a day to the field.
That'll stay the same.
And that will
stay the
same.
That's expected to stay
the same. That'll stay the same.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'd like to just put in there too that is also regulated via a permit.
I'm sure anything about what you're doing that's not regulated. So you don't have to convince us of that, but you may have a little bit of work to do other places. The other question about the mixing of sanitary waste, I would assume everything goes to the treatment plant because that's what sewage treatment plants are for, but I want to be clear for the public.
So are processing wastewater?
Yeah.
From the processing facility, in addition to sanitary waste, is treated at our wastewater facility.
Yeah.
So all of that wastewater is disinfected just like any sanitary wastewater treatment plant would be.
Right. Okay. All right. That's it.
Where's the heavy metals?
Oh, the heavy metals question. Metals. Yeah.
What's
yeah.
the heavy. Source of the sludge and the type of sludge and are there heavy?
So sludge is made when you treat wastewater and you separate the solids from the liquid. The liquid is then disinfected and you spray on the fields. The solids are what we call sludge here,
right,
and can be land applied or we take them off site now. So our processing facility does not have any heavy metals associated with it, but we are required to test for those.
Okay.
Denver requires that.
All right.
Along with a whole lot of other stuff, but metals is part of it.
Okay.
Is the sludge also disinfected like the water is? Did you say it's disinfected?
Sludge is not disinfected.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Who's next? Yes, ma'am, in the blue.
Hi, I'm Joanne, and I'm from Millsboro.
Your last name, Joanne?
Joanne.
Haynes, Haynes.
And you can bring one of those mics down if you want so we can get you better on the tape. They're all movable.
Yeah.
All right. The only thing we've been talking about is water. A lot of it, like sludge, still has water. Years ago, they did not allow, Denrec did not allow them to spray when it rained. Now they spray all the time. They spray real high, and when they don't want you to see it, it's low. But they're still spraying. Will Denrec stop them from spraying when it's raining?
If it's against the law, I'm sure they will. If it's not, I don't imagine.
Well, they wavered it.
Okay.
That's the word that they used.
Okay.
So I don't know if they just turn their head the other way. Sometimes we really get heavy rain, and they're still going on.
Okay.
And that's my big concern, because it's too much water.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Yeah. Counselor, somebody from your team want to clarify or speak to that issue? Because it's a good question. So what's up with the rain and the spraying and all that?
We do have permitted wet weather fields, but all of our spray fields have the stipulation that if we spray, there is no ponding or runoff allowed.
Okay.
How is that monitored? Ponding and runoff?
We have operators on staff 24 hours a day, 365 days a year that monitor not only the wastewater facility, but the spray irrigation fields.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Okay, going once. Anybody else? Okay, anyone on the commission have any further questions?
Not for them.
Counselor?
I guess somebody from team from Mount Air could come up. I just wanted to get a handle on the amount that's being sprayed elsewhere and what the locations of those other sites are so that we just have that clear for the record.
The circles.
Yeah, I don't know that we have those identified clearly as to what parcels they are and what have you. So that
I don't think we have all the parcel numbers because that's not part of this application.
Okay.
Because that's already going on. So
the application is just for these new three, so we don't have the parcel numbers readily available for those.
But it's all in the same area?
Generally.
Yes.
So you can see less on one spot, more in another? So, okay, all those, okay.
I think it would be considered to the southwest of the proposed location.
Could we ask DENREC to give us some information about how they monitor it?
We can ask. I would want specific questions so we can get the correct information.
I'd like to know what their process is for monitoring this, just because that's a question that people have been asking. So,
Well, perhaps a question would be to ask, if we ask the applicant, what specific permits do they have or anticipate having for this use with DENREC, and then what those requirements are as they're aware.
Oh, well, why don't we see if the applicant can shed any light on this, if you would come forward just for a second. It's in the absence of anyone from DENREC being here. Is there anyone from DENREC here? No. Okay. Can you speak to their process at all and enlighten us a little bit about how they supervise you?
So DENREC comes unannounced or announced whenever they want to come. We also currently sample our spray irrigation every single day we process, and we submit that on our DMR or SMR to the...
What's an SMR?
An SMR will show all of our laboratory analysis for the entire month for every permitted permit requirement we have.
Is it a document?
Yes.
Is it a chart?
It's a document. It's about...
Okay. It's a spray monitoring report is what it stands for.
Delightful. That's what I was looking for.
It has all the parameters.
Yeah, that's why you're...
There's meters that measure gallons and all the nutrients.
Good. Thank you. That's what I was thinking, but we want on the record whatever it really is. We don't want to make any assumptions. Okay. So that report goes to...
Submitted to DENREC monthly.
Right. And then they do their inspections whenever they want to, I guess.
Correct.
Okay. I don't know if that helps any or not, but it would be nice to get some information. We have the ability to do that, to request that information as subsequent to the hearing. Anything that would be produced would become part of the public record. So we may very well ask that question. So, okay, thank you. You may proceed. Anything else?
That's my big one.
Okay.
So DENREC requires monthly, quarterly, and annual reports for any facility that has that permit or any permit regarding spray irrigation.
Okay. Well, power of the internet right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would do that.
There's your answer. Anything else, Councilor?
I have nothing.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else on the commission?
No, thank you, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you very much for being here. We know how much all of you care about this. I know you're all going to want to get up and leave at the same time. We're going to be continuing with our meeting. So if you're not going to stay, if you're going to be leaving, we just ask that you would do it quietly. Thank you.